Let's look into the scripture before we pray tonight and encourage our hearts with something I think is absolutely apropos for prayer time and for the Christian life in general. And of all the odd things, we're going way over to the Old Testament, the book of Genesis. And I think by now that you also agree that it's not an odd thing for the Christian to be encouraged by Abraham, right? The writer of Hebrews didn't seem to think that it was a strange thing. He drew a lot of encouragement, as did Paul. If Paul did not write Hebrews, these two men drew a lot of encouragement from the life of Abraham and what he went through and what he proved. We are in the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, if you would join me, please, there. What we thought we'd do for the next however long is consider that question that runs through the scripture, is anything too difficult for the Lord? And it finds its expression in other ways. God is able to do this, God is able to do that. Or nothing is too difficult. It'll just state it. Instead of asking the question, you'll see it stated. And all of these things are saying the same thing, aren't they? Now, we turn to the life of Abraham because he was proving this early on. This he is the founder of the family of the faithful, and as its founder, God chose to test him. And so let's begin our reading in verse 1 of chapter 18. Now the Lord appeared to him, Abraham, by the oaks of Mamre, while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. And when he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and he bowed himself to the earth. And he said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a piece of bread, and that you may refresh yourselves. After that you may go on, since you have visited your servant. And they said, So do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, Quickly, prepare three measures of fine flour, knead it, and make bread cakes. Abraham also ran to the herd and took a tender and choice calf and gave it to the servant, and he hurried to prepare it. And he took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared and placed it before them. And he was standing by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, Where is Sarah your wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. Pause for a second. She was about 89 here, something like that, because the thought was that she would have a baby at the age of 90. So we can sort of plug that number in and see what is going on here, can't we? She was past childbearing. And so, verse 12, Sarah laughed to herself, saying, After I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? And here's the question, Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Sarah denied it, however, and said, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, No, but you did laugh. Well, I'd probably laugh too. Let's just say that up front. Now, it's one thing for me to put the question to you. It's another thing for an angel to put the question to us. It's altogether different from the Lord himself comes up to our tent, sits down, and while he's eating, says, Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Now, what you're going to find here in the life of Abraham is the revelation that he had of God was being tested. And I think that that's just part of the Christian experience, isn't it? What you know of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be tested. God himself will test it. He will say, oh, well, circumstances, the family life, whatever it might be, these things, yes, they will. But God is the one who's engineering all of this in Abraham and Sarah's life. The promise will be tested. Let me say that better. The faith in the promise will be tested. Now, the revelation. Now, let's do the promise first. No, let's do the revelation first. I take this all back. And I'm going to just write this note down, or this reference. It's Exodus chapter 6. This is a whole different story, and hundreds of years have elapsed, and God is now speaking to Moses. But I just want to catch one thought of what the Lord is saying to Moses. He said, you shall see now what I'm going to do to Pharaoh, for under compulsion he shall let them go. And under compulsion he shall drive them out of his land. God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. And he's already revealed himself that way at the bush. And he said, now listen, I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as, can you fill in the rest? God Almighty. I appeared to them as God Almighty. Now, a simple little mulling over that word almighty means that he has what? All might. That there is nothing beyond his ability. There's nothing that he cannot do. He's able to do all things. And these guys had the benefit, you know, of looking up into a sky with absolutely no light pollution. They could just stare up there and see the Milky Way in its grandeur, and they look at the stars, and they knew God spoke them into existence. They knew he'd put them there. They knew he held them in their locations and places. And that for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, they've been just like that, same patterns, and God did that. They knew that God was mighty, and not just mighty, but all mighty. Now, it's impressive to see one of these muscle-bound dudes pick up the front end of a car, right? And he's just mighty, but he is not almighty. He can't pick the world up. But we know one who can. And these men knew one who could, the Lord our God. But he's going to test that, isn't he? That revelation is going to be tested. And so there they are, and the circumstances have been engineered in their experience. And God is going to show them that he is able to do what they have not seen done. Now let's go back and look at the promise, or think of the promise. The revelation is going to be tested. Their revelation, what they knew of God, it's going to be tested. Their faith in the promise would be tested. And the Lord had said to him what? Some 24 years or so earlier, he said, follow me, come out from where you are, come to the land where I show you, and I will give it to you and your descendants. And as they walked around, he talked with God and prayed about that. Finally, one night, the Lord came to him, and he was in his tent, and he took him outside, and he said, look up at those stars, all right? So shall your descendants be. And I like the line of Rich Mullins, who said, Abraham looked up and he saw one star burning for me. One of those stars has your name on it, saint. And Abraham saw it, and the Lord said, so shall your descendants be. I think that's why there's millions and billions of stars in our galaxy, so that we can look at the night sky and say, so shall it be. I think that's why there's so many sands of the seashore, so we can look at them and say, I cannot count that high. Well, this is the power of God to make sons come forth, just like that. Well, so Abraham is told, I'll give you a son. Now, they'd pretty well taken matters into their own hands, as you recall, and therefore we have an Ishmael, and therefore we have the problems that we have today with that race that is still hammering against Jerusalem and Israel, and us to some extent. But the Lord said, through Sarah, you shall have an offspring, you shall have a son, the son according to promise. And then how did it go in our reading here? The Lord said, "Where's Sarah? And I will turn this time to you next year, and Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah thought this was kind of humorous. She laughed to herself. And Abraham said, well, I don't know what Abraham said other than, well, she's back there. If you want to talk to her, she's right there. But what did the writer say? Abraham, verse 11, and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. It happens, doesn't it, ladies? It just happens. It's the Lord's way of saying to the woman, you're no longer going to be doing this. And I think it's a merciful thing. And I often felt sorry for Sarah for having a child at the age of 90, but then I realized they had a big support staff. So they had lots of help. They had a built-in nursery and nannies everywhere, so it wasn't so bad. But God made this woman laugh at an impossible age. Why does God do this? Why does God so test his people? Why does he so test the faith of his people? Well, I think there's a serious lesson for us to learn. And it's just this. It's what Paul has been saying to us over and over again. It's not by words. The kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. It's not by the deeds of righteousness, but according to his mercy. It's not by what man can do. It's what God can do. I am strongest when I'm weakest. I am weakest when I'm strongest. I know least when I know most. I'm poorest when I'm rich. I'm richest when I'm poor. And on it goes. God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our way. The problem is not with God. The problem's us, isn't it? We think, oh, let's help God out here. And the Lord says, oh, no. He waits until it cannot be done to do it, to show that it's not according to man's ability. And if we think for a second, like Finney would teach in his day, if we do everything just right, we can have a revival. And the Lord has said, no, you're not. And no, you won't. Over and over again, until we are going to know when it comes, this was not of man's doing. God did this. God did it. We didn't even pray very well. We didn't believe very strong, but he did it anyway, and it will be to the glory of God, just as this child was, to the glory of God. It's not by our ability. And he does it, I think he engineers our circumstances and reduces us to nothing, just to show that it is not, God does not do it the way man does it. We do it in our strength, we do it in our virility, and we do it in double step time, don't we? Let's get this done, come on. God has all the time in the world, doesn't he? We've said often that we are immortal until our work is done. God can make us live to be 500 years old if it pleases him. And we could do our greatest work right there in our deathbed. You might say that the thing that brought Jacob, let's see, who was Jacob and Joseph, both into the book of the faithful there, the record in Hebrews 11, excuse me. Are you with me? Hebrews 11, you find these three men. What are they there for? Because on their deathbed, they said, God's going to do this, or God's going to do that. This is what they prophesy right there. In other words, they die in faith. And what they do right there at the end. It does not matter with God. He doesn't need an army of young studs. Okay? Now, he'll use them if he wants them. If they can serve his purpose, he'll raise them up. But an old man and a woman who can't hardly even control herself will serve his purpose beautifully, because they are proving that God's not going to do this as man does it. And then I think to prove this too, that he's able. What's the question? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Now faith rises and says, oh, no. But that's what we're doing is we're testing the concept against the concept of the answer. Here is our problem. Here is the answer. And we deal in the theoretical. Oh, no. God can do anything. We've all said this, haven't we? But we look at our family, we look at our nation, we look at ourselves, we look at our families, and we think, oh, it's not going to happen. It's not going to be done. What's happening there is that God is testing us. Is he able to do it? John is going to say to his generation, look, fellas, God can, from these stones, I can just see him gesturing. God can, from these stones, raise up sons to Abraham. He can do anything. And you'll witness, as you read through the book of God, bread coming from heaven, water coming from rocks, the sun standing still, waters dividing. You'll see things that cannot happen. And it does this because God has engineered these circumstances, has brought his people right up into it, and they have nowhere else to look but up, and they have nothing else to do but believe. So here's the question. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? And do we have an answer? Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing. Now, saint, I can think of nothing better to come into the prayer closet with than that conviction burning in our hearts. Nothing is too difficult for the one to whom I'm about to address my petition. So let's pray.